Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. It is Thursday. This is your Thursday edition of the daily episodes. We did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and what a week it was. We had Monday with Laguna Biatch, Kelly Williams. I hope you checked out her podcast. We had Tuesday, Danielle Peterson, Holla Back Cards. Yesterday, we had Best of Bravo, Maggie Kelly, and today, it's just me and you guys and my parents. So this will be a relatively short one for us. I interviewed my parents earlier, and it's a really cool, cute interview. I had a lot of people on Instagram sending questions, and let me just give you a little teaser. I had to explain what a top and a bottom is to my parents. So I think you know just for that alone, you want to kind of tune in. A couple things I want to talk about before we get started. Oh, here's a little piece of business. I got sent this really cool game from a company called Lower Level Games. It's just Lower Level Games on Instagram. And it's a Guess Who Housewife Edition, All-Star Edition. So it's housewives from every franchise. And I got this. It's awesome. I love it. I got two of them actually, so I want to give one to you guys. So I wanted to do a little contest. I was trying to think of something to do. The only thing I could think to do that if you can leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, if you already have, just all I need is a screenshot. Email it to me at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and email that to me. I'll be drawing next Thursday, and I'll reach out to you and I'll let you let people know on the podcast on Monday who won, and I'll mail it out to you. It's really actually a really cool, fun game. So for all you Housewives fans, I think this is a cool company. Go check it out, Lower Level Games. Thank you guys for giving me one, and I just wanted to give that right back to you guys. So if you could, I guess, leave me a 5-star review. I mean, you know, if you hate me, don't leave it. I mean, I guess you also just won't get the game, you know. Lower Level Games, Guess Who Housewife Edition. You can go check it out on their Instagram. But I think that is actually a really cool thing. Let's see what else. Golden Globes 2021 nominations were announced today. Now, this is a little weird because we're in pandemic, or we have been, we continue to be. So award shows are a little differently. Remember last year, I guess is our last year of like normal award shows in a way. I mean, remember the Golden Globes? That was kind of normal. And the Oscars, like it was, you know, that was the last thing really, I guess, we saw of like a big public award show. So Golden Globes are going to be hosted by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who are amazing. Amy Poehler is going to be in Los Angeles and Tina Fey is going to be in New York. And I think that they are just hysterically funny. They hit home runs whenever. I mean, just both hysterical women. They've hosted before. This will be the first time in Golden Globes history that they are doing it on different coasts. So I think that's exciting. This is the 78th annual Golden Globe. Now, I saw a lot of stuff online. We'll go over a couple categories together. But I saw a lot of stuff online where a lot of people were, you know, one of the things if you're into award shows is that you got to be furious with the nominations because your favorite show is left out, your favorite director, your favorite actor. Why is this show nominated? I heard that a lot about Emily in Paris. Why the fuck is Emily in Paris? Sorry if there's kids in the car, guys. If you could pull over to the side of the road, let the kids out. If it's snowing, I hope they're bundled up and so I can say the F word. I'm the bad boy of podcasting, you know, it's going to get wild. I refuse to watch Emily in Paris, and I also refuse to watch Bridgerton. You guys know that. There are a couple things, like, I don't like sports. I don't like things that most, like, bros like. So I've got to, like, these are the last two things that, like, if I watch Emily in Paris and Bridgerton, I feel like I'm, like, 100% girl at that point. And I've got to hold strong. But I think I get Emily in Paris because I've read all of Twitter, and I've read everybody's comments about it. And a lot of the comments about Emily in Paris were like, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm going to keep watching. Fourth episode, oh my God, how did this get made? It's horrible. And then by the end, like, I kind of like this. It's horrible, but I like it. So a lot of people didn't like it, but then loved it, hate watching is a thing that's like kind of in vogue now. Is a lot of people will hate watch things. I've hate watched an entire season of Real Housewives of Orange County, which, by the way, we talked about this on the Patreon. If you want a full season recap, patreon.com/sobaditsgood. But I said, we need to make t-shirts that say, I survived Real Housewives of Orange County 2020, because I hate watched that thing, you know? And then there were parts that I liked about it. So I guess that's kind of like my Emily in Paris. Like, parts of it I liked, most of it I hated. I think still, like, I mean, first off, if any show gets nominated, you know, there's so much work that goes into any of these things. So from a technical standpoint, and even just like the fact that these shows get made at all, it's such a long journey. In fact, I have an actor coming on soon who she's going to walk us through the process of what it's like as an actor. And she's a working actor with a bunch of sitcoms under her belt. And I think you guys will be really interested because I want to take you through really what it's like, to be an actor and how much rejection is involved in it. I think it's kind of fascinating. I've talked to a lot of people that aren't actors and they really do find it interesting because I don't think a lot of people have concepts of how hard it is to actually get anything made. So the fact that anything gets made is just kind of an award in itself. But a lot of people were furious about Emily in Paris getting so many nominations. So let's see here. What do we got? Best performance by an actor in a television series, musical, or comedy. You got Don Cheadle, Black Monday, Nicholas Holt, The Great, Eugene Levy, Schitt's Creek, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, Rami Yosef. I saw Ted Lasso, Schitt's Creek. I mean, Eugene Levy will probably get it because it's the last season of Schitt's Creek. Even though I thought Jason Sudeikis did a great job on Ted Lasso, I watched it. That was like a slow burn for me, and then I ended up loving it. Best performance by an actress, musical or comedy, Lily Collins, Emily in Paris, Kaley Cuoco, The Flight Attendant, Elle Fanning, The Great, Jane Levy, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, Catherine O'Hara, Schitt's Creek. I think you got to go Catherine O'Hara, fifth season of Schitt's Creek, fifth or sixth season of Schitt's Creek. You got to do it. But also, the other thing about these nominations is that, especially when it gets to the movie categories, you really feel how little content in terms of like big budget blockbuster or Oscar worthy movies were released, because we have gone a year without going to the theater, without having that experience. And I think that's a really fascinating thing. So when it gets to the movies, you're kind of like, oh, and we're used to it because it's on Netflix. So I think when something gets to Netflix, we almost sometimes, we don't appreciate it as much. You know, we're so used to it. And there's that experience. I think I was talking about Blockbuster Video working there, and it was a whole experience to go there on a Friday night with your friends and hope that your movie was there and try to like pick out which movie you guys were going to watch together. It was a whole experience. And sometimes Netflix is just like, here, you can watch anything you want here. And then you just end up not watching anything because it's too much pressure to choose. Best performance by an actor, television series, drama, Jason Bateman, Ozark, Josh O'Connor, The Crown, Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, Al Pacino, Hunters, Matthew Reese, Perry Mason. I think Jason Bateman will probably get it for Ozark. Best performance by an actress in a television series, drama, Olivia Colman, The Crown, Jodie Comer, Killing Eve, Emma Corrin, The Crown, Laura Linney, Ozark, Sarah Paulson, Ratched. I think Olivia Colman for The Crown, just because she also won an Oscar a couple of years ago, and it's The Crown, you know? I haven't watched The Crown. I don't think I'll ever watch it. It's one of my parents' favorite shows. That and Downton Abbey. And I've never watched Downton Abbey, even though I lie to people and tell them I have. Let's see here. Let's get to the best television series drama. The Crown, Lovecraft Country, Mandalorian, Ozark, Ratched. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I like Mandalorian. I thought that was good, but I don't know if it's Golden Globe worthy. Let's get to some movie stuff here. Best television series, musical or comedy, Emily in Paris, The Flight Attendant, Schitt's Creek, The Great, Ted Lasso. Okay, here's film. Best motion picture, musical or comedy, Borat, subsequent movie film, Hamilton, which was released to Disney Plus, a musical comedy called Music. I've never heard of that. Palm Springs, which was released on Hulu, and The Prom, which was released on Netflix, and Borat was released on Amazon. So these are all, I mean, I don't know. It's so weird. We haven't had any of these really in theaters, or at least not in Los Angeles. Best motion picture drama, The Father, Mank, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, The Trial of the Chicago 7. Now, I saw Promising Young Woman and The Trial of the Chicago 7. I thought both were excellent. My personal taste is Promising Young Woman. Let's see. Okay, best actor in a supporting role, motion picture. Sacha Baron Cohen for Trial of the Chicago 7. Daniel Kaluuya, Judas and the Black Messiah. Jared Leto, The Little Things. Bill Murray, On the Rocks. Leslie Odom Jr., One Night in Miami. I tell you, I hated The Little Things. Jared Leto. Ugh. You know how easy it is to act like a wacko? I'm telling you guys, it's so fun to act like a wacko. It's not... It's like he should be paying us to be able to act like a wacko. I know you guys might be Jared Leto stands. I personally am not. And it's just, it's one of those roles of like, it's just weird immediately. It's just, you know, it's like you're always going to be fascinated by somebody that's acting weird. And so that, those kind of roles are just like, they're a gift to the actor playing them because it's kind of easier to play. I mean, I really do believe that. So, best actress in a supporting role, motion picture, Glenn Close, Hillbilly Elegy, Olivia Colman, The Father, Jodie Foster, The Mauritanian, Amanda Seyfried, Mank, Helena Zengel, News of the World, which was that Tom Hanks picture that not a lot of people have seen. Best actor in a motion picture, musical or comedy, Sacha Baron Cohen for Borat, James Corden for The Prom, which a lot of people said he sucked in the Prom. And I want to talk about the voting of the Golden Globes in a sec. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton, Dev Patel, The Personal History of David Copperfield, Andy Samberg, Palm Springs. Best actor in a motion picture drama, Chadwick Boseman, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Riz Ahmed, The Sound of Metal, Anthony Hopkins, The Father, Gary Oldman, Mank, Tahar Rahim, The Mauritanian. I got to say, this will go to Chadwick Boseman. It was his last filmed work. Amazing work, but his last, and usually, and I think deservedly so, those that will be his award. Even though I saw... The Sound of Metal, and it was great. The performance was amazing. Haven't seen Mank, haven't seen The Father. Here, those are great, but I saw Sound of Metal, and it was a great performance. Best actress in a motion picture drama, Viola Davis, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Andra Day, The United States versus Billie Holiday, Vanessa Kirby, Pieces of a Woman, Frances McDormand, Nomadland, Carey Mulligan, Promising Young Woman. I got to go with Carey Mulligan. I thought she was amazing in Promising Young Woman. I thought she was amazing. Best actress in a motion picture, musical or comedy, Maria Bakalova, Borat, Kate Hudson, Music, Michelle Pfeiffer, French Exit, Rosamund Pike, I Care a Lot, Anya Taylor-Joy, Emma. I think it's got to go with Maria Bakalova for Borat. There's a lot of press for her, so we'll see. There's so many other awards, but you know, those are a lot of the main ones. And I was frankly tired of saying names. but the other thing I want to point out about the Golden Globes, and not a lot of people realize this. So the Golden Globes, this is the 78th, I believe. So congrats for 78 of anything. But the Golden Globe is a foreign critics award. So it means foreign critics vote on these. Now, the history of the Foreign Critics Association is fascinating. Do you know that only 93 people vote for the Golden Globes? The Oscars, there's like thousands and thousands and thousands. The Golden Globes, only 93 people. So it's very few people that vote for this. Furthermore, the Golden Globes really didn't mean shit until NBC picked up TV rights, and they made it into kind of an event, a really fun event. And usually on TV, it was always that fun award show that they drank at. And it was, you know, you see all the at the Beverly Hilton in the tables and you see them all drinking and it's lit in the room. So you get to see when they go up to the stage, they walk past, like, remember that time when Lady Gaga walked past DiCaprio and he made a face of like, ooh, you get to see fun stuff like that. It's looser. It's just wackier. It's just less pretentious than the Oscars. So it's a lot of fun to watch. But the award show themselves, the nominations themselves, don't mean a whole heck of a lot. You can actually buy a Golden Globe. In fact, Harvey Weinstein was known, you know, Harvey Weinstein, the asshole, he was known for buying Golden Globes. You know, is that the foreign critics made it known they can be wined and dined. The Oscars put rules on this, and especially with like, their gift baskets. You used to be able to get tens of thousands of dollars worth of gift baskets when you won an award. They got rid of that, you know, but it used to be even like that for the Oscars. And then they started making rules because so many people were saying that was being done with the Golden Globes, is that you could campaign. The campaigns for this kind of just was like taking critics on vacations, you know, and like I said, wining, dining, gifts. And that's like a lot with the nomination process, too. So with the Golden Globes, you're always going to have a couple where you're like scratching your head and there's a couple things that will be left out. You know, like one that was left out, that was on a lot of people's lists that they were very shocked that was left out, was a show called I May Destroy You. Beautiful. I've only gotten through 4 episodes of it because it is so dense and it is so tragic. Well, I don't know what the word is. It just made me feel so bad, but in a really beautiful way. And I don't... If you guys have seen it, you know, and it's like, it's just hard to get through because emotionally it asks a lot of the audience, and the performance and the writing and the directing is very beautiful. It's insanely beautiful. But that didn't, you know, there, a lot of people were saying that was going to get nominated in the TV category and didn't. But I don't put a lot of, you know, awards as you get older too, is like the best award for anything is ridiculous, especially for acting. But the Golden Globes, you get a lot of wackier nominations, and it's always been that way because you can kind of buy nominations or influence nominations. And I just personally find it fascinating. You know, I really do find it fascinating how it all works. And I thought you guys might be, you know, might find it fascinating as well. And if not, hey, you probably just hated that last 10 minutes.
You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, can get bad flavor in your ear.
Okay, so let's see here. A couple of things. Before we get into the new Madison LaCroix A-Rod news that we just found out today, I got a couple of emails, and this is awesome. It is really awesome when I get emails. I really appreciate it. Anybody that listens to this show and then also takes the time to reach out to me, even if it's not like... Even if it's just that I like when you guys check me. I like when you have your own opinions. And I want to read a couple things that I thought were really, really interesting and stuff that makes me think, actually. This actually is from Kaylee Allen. And this was after Monday. Monday's episode with Laguna Biatch. It says false celebrity rumors. I was listening to your podcast with Laguna Biatch today, and you were talking about rumors that don't end up being true in response to your T.I. drama. And I wanted to say Candy Burris, when Phaedra accused her of quote unquote date raping Portia. Interesting also because Candy and T.I. are connected, but that was a very serious allegation that ended up being a complete lie. Love the podcast and love Kelly's podcast. So that was a great example. So what I was talking about earlier in the week is the allegations between T.I. and Tiny, which have kind of disappeared over the last couple of days. I will always be curious how PR works, how that whole, like if stories get buried, how they're buried. We were talking about that a lot with the Armie Hammer case, which continues to go on and continues to get buried, but then new things pop up. It's really fascinating. But I was, you know, I think there was a couple times this week where we said where there's smoke, there's fire. And I know T.I. was one of them. But, you know, she has a really great point, is that if you guys remember Real Housewives of Atlanta, Candy Burris was accused by Phaedra of date raping, and it was completely, it was just, you know, Candy didn't date rape Portia. I mean, it was like, it was so completely a lie, and it was not true. And that is a great example. And I guess, you know, that's just a great point to always kind of have in the back of my head, or anybody that talks about this stuff, is that just because there's smoke, where there's smoke, there's fire, that can be true and oftentimes is, but it doesn't mean always. So that's why I do say with T.I. and Tiny, allegedly all of those things happen. But that's what's hard, though, is when you deal in pop culture and you read so many things and you have decades of like reading these stories, more oftentimes than not, I've seen them be true, unfortunately. But I love this. Kaylee, thank you for reaching out, and I will be keeping my eye on that story. I just thought that was a really, really interesting comment. Oh, my gosh, you guys, next week I'm talking to somebody really, really exciting. Here's actually a fun email. Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Michelle titles it, "I hope you get guests." Hey, Michelle, I hope so too. It says, "Hey, Ryan, I am snowed in. Your podcast makes me laugh while shoveling snow." Anyways, I have anxiety so bad that it feels like a heart attack, so I am reframing. Try to get old school Danielle Staub. Michelle, I have anxiety too. I hope your anxiety, it sounds a little worse than my anxiety. And also, why are you shoveling snow? You need to be making somebody else shovel that snow. That is ridiculous. You should never be shoveling your own snow. But thank you for allowing, I mean, I feel like this is a good, if you're miserable shoveling snow, I think this is the good podcast to listen to during that. Here's another email from, let's see here. Leora. Hi, Leora. Leora Hassin. Hey, love your podcast. The only two 100% not true situations that I can think of, and this is about the same email I kind of just read, was one, Jussie Smollett's homophobic attack. Remember that, you guys, from a couple years ago? The son from Empire. He said he was, almost killed. Like, they had a noose. It was Make America Great Again hats. He made up this whole scenario. And then it turned out, allegedly, he probably did it himself. He still to this day has not admitted it, but all of the stuff that, like, it was two Nigerian brothers that he worked out with or were there, was his trainers, actually, he paid to rough him up. And he blamed it on two MAGA people, I guess. Do you guys remember this? It was a crazy story, and we all believed it completely, I think, because probably, just to be honest, we wanted to believe it. But this still, the city of Chicago, I think they reopened the case on this because they are very sure that he did do it. So that's another one. And two, she points out again, Candy and Todd trying to drug Portia Williams and taking her to their sex dungeon, which she says now sounds eerily familiar with the T.I. Tiny story. Maybe the rumor that Phaedra heard was that someone in Escape, which is the girl group they were in, drugged women and raped them. So that's another example of, it is something that I do have to keep in the back of my head. But it's frustrating, though, because even in that Jussie Smollett case, he still hasn't admitted it. Like, we never have the real story. We can suspect it, but we never have it. And I think these days nobody really ever admits when they're guilty, you know. And then finally, I don't need to read this person's name, but I thought this was a really interesting comment. It was about yesterday's show with Madison and J-Lo. And, you know, me and Bessa Bravo, Maggie, we were really, I keep thinking about this email all day because she was just kind of, I was kind of taking glee in the fact, and I even made some comments about, you know, J-Lo and Madison fighting, and, you know, that I was kind of enjoying speculating that maybe, you know, J-Lo's cheating as well. And, you know, I thought this was a really great email. And the thing is, first and foremost, is that this, I want this to be considered, maybe not so much at times, you know, is a comedy podcast that deals in reality shows and pop culture. I'm a silly person. Sometimes I will do dumb things for a laugh, or I will say dumb things to get a laugh. It is kind of a very childish part of my behavior. But it's there, you know? And I was thinking about it and I was listening back to clips. And for the most, you know, I really loved that conversation. And she's right. I was very excited about this conversation. And I think Maggie was as well. And I got to admit, I did. I was not thinking about J-Lo and Madison and A-Rod as people. I was thinking about them as pop culture figures. I was thinking about them as like, oh my God, isn't this amazing pop culture? Can you believe this stuff keeps unfolding? How crazy is this story getting? And and making jokes of like, oh, I bet J-Lo is cheating too. And oh, wouldn't you love to see them fight? Those can be like little snide comments that I'm saying to make myself laugh or to make you guys laugh. Sometimes that doesn't hit or just is sometimes I hate to just to be completely honest. I can be completely desensitized to this stuff. You got to understand, like I've read pop culture, this is no excuse, but I've read pop culture since I was a really little kid. I read Celebrity Gossip, Celebrity Blinds. I was so in love with all of this where I don't, the army thing kind of shocked me. But I don't get shocked and I don't have a lot of faith in men in particular. Like I said, I don't blame Madison. Madison should get hers or, you know, whatever. But I don't have a lot of faith in men. I think men are always going to cheat, are always. And my dad, actually, we talk about that for a second in the interview coming up. So I want to apologize in a way is that, you know, I was definitely taking glee. I was really finding the conversation funny. And but I also I was not thinking about them as people. So I apologize to that. If I was J-Lo, I would be horrified that obviously my man, and we found this out today, I'm going to talk about this, I guess we'll talk about this right now, is obviously DMing with strange women that are not J-Lo. That is undisputed. So that kind of sucks. Because, you know, even if A-Rod didn't cheat, he's up talking to a bunch of ladies. And I don't know how you ladies feel about when your guys are, you know, do that, if that's cool or not in your book. It's kind of an interesting conversation. But today, you guys, I wish I had held that episode a day because so many things happened in this last day. So Danny from Southern Charm was on Kate Casey's podcast, Reality Life with Kate Casey. Kate Casey, been on the show a bunch. I've been on hers and I would consider her, by the way, I talked about mentors the other day. I would consider her kind of a mentor to me. She's always been there for me, always kind of given me tips. And she alerted me yesterday that this was coming out, you know, and that this, she said this and I listened to it and the way they speak about it is really innocuous. Kate did this throwaway line of, it was like, oh yeah. And like, now they're saying A-Rod and Danny kind of just was like, oh yeah, you know, I didn't know who it was, but you know, Madison did tell me she had FaceTimed with A-Rod and then they kept going on in the conversation. Kate didn't push it. And they talked about a bunch of other things and also great episode because Heather Gay from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is on there as well. So amazing episode. But I was like, that's big news because this is the first time like all of us meme people and podcasters and just fans and, you know, all of that. We've been speculating. We've been like, it could be A-Rod, but we didn't know because they said the married thing and A-Rod is not married to J-Lo. They're just engaged. So we didn't know. And this actually is the confirmation that Madison told Danny that A-Rod and her FaceTime. So it kind of connects all of those pieces. She didn't say anything about like, oh, and I know they've had sex, anything like that. And it was Danny. It wasn't malicious. It was, you know, Danny seems like a very nice person. And also she seems like the person that is affected the most by this show. Remember that false chlamydia rumor that they had last season? Like this stuff really seems to have hurt her. And we even joked about that on that. It's like, she seems like a bit of a ghost on this episode where she barely spoke. And I think some of this stuff has really shook her. So I wake up today and it's all around the news. All the memers have picked it up. Us Weekly, Daily Mail, everybody has picked it up. And and Kate had to take down that part of that piece of the interview. She had to take that down and, you know, all I will say is that Kate is a really great person. She really does care about this stuff. She is not trying to do any kind of gotcha podcasting. And really, in her position, I mean, I would have done the exact same thing. And that is just releasing a good interview, which it was good even without that information. So I thought that was really interesting. But we finally got confirmation. So that's a little piece of the story. Then this is why I find it fascinating. And this really isn't even anything to do with A-Rod or Madison, is that it's more to do with PR. We talked earlier about how fascinated I am with PR, and I think you guys should be too, because this shows you a tale of two PRs. So now we finally have some kind of confirmation. So how do you think the two different PRs, do you think, would you bet that A-Rod will comment? You know, how will they comment? And so finally this afternoon, after this had been out for a while, we get the first little clue of how this is going to be handled. In the Daily Mail, it reports Alex Rodriguez, quote, has never met or spoken to Madison LaCroix, despite claims the Southern Charm star had been FaceTiming Jennifer Lopez's fiance. Alex Rodriguez has never spoken or met with Southern Charm star Madison LaCroix, a source tells DailyMail.com. So that is from Alex's camp. So don't know what the discussion was, but they pushed out has never met or spoken to Madison LaCroix. Okay. So an hour or so later, we get the Page Six story. Madison LaCroix, I have, quote, never been physical with Alex Rodriguez. And this is when I was like, oh, wow, PR machine is in full swing right now. So she goes on to say, she clarifies that they've spoken on the phone. Quote, that's the truth, she said, adding, they've never been physical, dot, 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 never had any kind of anything, just an acquaintance. Wow. So Alex said they had never spoken or met. Madison says they've spoken on the phone, but have never met or been sexual. So those are a tale of two PR companies, folks. That's what we're seeing in plain daylight. I wonder, I mean, this is really perfect lead up for Southern Charm Part 2 tomorrow night. I'm so excited to see what the ratings are going to be. I think they're going to be astronomical. I think a lot of people, I mean, Madison, I mean, single-handedly is giving that show two more seasons. I mean, really, you can't argue with that. She has made this show fascinating in many ways. So I'm very, very curious how this story plays out. And you guys as women, what do you do? What do you do with somebody like A-Rod? And we don't have proof that he's cheating, but what do you do if you do have proof that he's like DMing and all that stuff? What do you do? Do you ask for his phone? Do you ask to go through things? Like, how is that, you know? I don't know. Something I thought about, and I thought that was interesting. One last thing, if I could, you know what? No, I'll save this for next week. You guys ready for my parents? This is a really fun, funny, cute interview. I asked them a bunch of questions from Instagram. If you guys don't follow me on Instagram, So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. And sometimes I'll post in my stories, and I posted about my parents yesterday, and a lot of people sent in questions. So thank you for that. And that's it, you guys. I will see you back on Monday. I got a whole nother week of great guests talking to some really cool people because of you guys. So thank you. And thanks for all the people that wrote in. Thanks for all the suggestions. And also, I want to also say that email that I wrote that I didn't say her name, she wanted to write me to tell me about that. She said, instead of leaving me a 1-star review, which I really, really appreciate. Now, if you don't like me, I get it. You're not going to like me. I totally get that. But she was really cool about it. And I got to say, I really appreciate not leaving me a 1-star review, because I do. I put too much work into this. You know, I really put a lot of work into this. So those reviews, like, it's like the one of the only things that I can kind of show that is, you know, it's like that I'm working hard. It's like one of the kind of, I guess, benchmarks, you know? So I appreciate that. Thank you. And you guys, I'll talk to you on Monday. Here is, without further ado, the king and queen, Bill and Becky Bailey. Hear me?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can't hear Dad.
Hello.
There you go. What are you guys doing?
I just got off a Zoom call with my friends, just catching up on everybody, as old guys talking about our prostate and stuff. Or
is everyone
got a hot appointment and who didn't?
Is everybody's prostates good?
Yeah, mine isn't, but everybody else's is.
Everybody that still has one.
I don't have one.
Yeah, that's true. I have to go get my blood work for my physical next week.
Good. Okay, I was wondering when you were doing that. I thought about it the other day. I thought, I wonder if he ever did that.
They give you the PSA, right?
Yeah, it's done with blood work now. Well, actually, they made me check myself. They made me put my hand up there.
Yeah, but you liked it.
Yeah. anything crazy happening this week for you guys?
No, I substituted teaching today for Connor.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Kara had her Bible study classes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I went over that. We did history and geography and all that, and it was good.
Did you tell him the real truth about America?
What is the real truth?
You said
if you know, please tell us.
That'd be kind of cool if you turned out to be his full-time teacher.
Yeah, we started out with history. We talked about one chapter on comparative. What's it? The astronomer.
Galileo?
No, the other one from Poland. I can't say it.
Copernicus. Copernicus.
Thank you. There it is. And then the next chapter was on Martin Luther. So that was fun. And
did
I enjoy that.
Did he seem to understand it?
Yeah, he's good. I was impressed. I really was impressed. And then we did geography, which was a little difficult. Because he couldn't print stuff out, but thank goodness for Google. You know, we looked a lot at Google, and it was even interesting for me. But I was impressed with Connor. First of all, I was impressed how good he is with the computer, how he can type and all that and everything. But he did good, and he's a smart kid.
And he likes it when it's story based, you know, something that he can. And Dad is so good at history that he can give him the backstory on it or the background. And talk it, you know, more like not just reading a paragraph and that mean Dad can, you know, go through it with him.
Yeah, and then we were talking about the Great Wall of China. And, of course, we were there, so I had pictures to show him.
So that's cool.
What is his favorite? I said, what's your favorite subject? And he goes, literature. And I said, oh, that's good. That's really good. You know, I mean, the reading and everything. He said, well, Mom reads to me.
Because of his dyslexia.
Yeah, that he can just listen.
Well, yeah, but I was wondering if he said that because he knows you like to read it, so he's kissing your ass.
Yeah, well,
I don't think so. You know, he does.
Oh, no,
like
I think he does. Yeah.
Stories.
Wait, did you give him a? Does he get grades for the day, or how does it work?
No, at the end of the week, I guess. But he's
Friday.
But he gets hundreds and everything, so he's a smart kid. It's just, you know.
See, on Friday he goes in.
With the kids, right?
Right, with everybody goes in. Everybody else is homeschooled Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
And I'll go in on Friday, and the teacher goes over their grades and goes over everything that they've done because they have to turn it all in. It's all, government-based. They have to, you know, pass their grade level.
But then we went to Jack in the Box for lunch.
What'd you eat for 25?
Wait, and when you got McDonald's.
What's that?
When you got McDonald's and brought it in, he had chicken nuggets and a hamburger. Like, he can eat.
Exactly. He's got an appetite.
And fries.
And he's a tiny guy.
Yeah. Today he had a big, Happy Jack Deluxe something. It was a huge hamburger. Two egg rolls. So greasy.
Egg rolls? I didn't know.
Large order of curly fries. And a medium root beer.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Two things. So next week we are going to play the match game with you guys for Valentine's Day, or I'm gonna host.
What's the match game, honey?
That's where I'm gonna talk to you guys next week. I'm gonna ask you questions about each other, and then we're gonna find out what you guys know about each other on the show.
Now, do we need to be dressed for this?
No, you can be completely, you know, you can do it like you regularly do it, naked.
Okay,
do
just
we
like
have
now.
To study for it?
Well, I mean, you've been studying for 50 years. You've been studying for 50 years, supposedly.
Yeah, but we all
Is it a test?
Well, I mean, yeah, there will be a winner, yeah.
But I still can't. The question of the day, and I finally had to look it up myself. So I was trying to look to see if the groundhog saw his shadow yesterday. So I asked Dad. He said he hadn't heard. So we asked Alexa. Oh, she gives us the whole history of it, but no answer. Then we asked Siri, and she said, well, I haven't talked to him lately, but I can give you the forecast. Well,
yeah, it's six more weeks of winter.
I don't.
Yeah,
no,
but
no,
did
no.
he see a shadow?
She was just, and yes, he did, I found
yeah.
out.
Well, I you know what? To be honest, I don't know how that works. It's like, it's
a joke.
I thought he didn't see a shadow, and that means 6 weeks of winter.
No, it's if he sees it.
If he sees a shadow, he goes back into hiding again.
Yeah, but more importantly, was he wearing a mask?
Double.
Yeah, that's good. Wait, so, and you guys get your shots next week, right?
No, February 24th.
Yeah.
February 24th. So after you get it, let me know when Bill Gates activates it and gives you your first command.
I know. Okay. Really. But, you know, it's interesting. Then I get a, you know, we're scheduled for the 24th way across town at the football stadium.
Yeah.
Which is 39, no big deal. But then I get a thing from VA today. They set me up an appointment February 16th for a shot. Okay. So I got an embarrassment of riches.
Get two of them. Yeah. Well, actually, that's what I heard the VA, but it was your, I thought you were too young because I thought it was 75 and above you could go
that was
get.
But thank you for saying I was too young. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not by much, but yeah.
I'm in the second group now, I think, now here in Arizona, I think.
That's yes. It. Vietnam is finally paying off.
I'll tell you. Thank goodness.
We got some questions from the listeners. I still have a couple listeners. Yeah, this is good. First is, what advice would you guys give your 30-year-old selves?
Have fun.
I was just going to say that.
Have so, fun, good. So you guys wouldn't be married, obviously.
No, but that's interesting. You know, I'm
okay. Take him out of the will.
I'm doing that story thing for you. And I was saying that we really wanted. I wanted. Dad's art had been to Europe, but I had never been out of a country, and I wanted to do it by the time I was 30.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And when we turned 30, Dad won that trip and it to Italy, and it was like, do those fun things now. Who knows? You know what the future has for you.
Yeah,
you know, I was going to do it now. But when he was 30, looking back, and God, you were what, 2 years old? Addison was just born.
Addison?
Kara.
Kara.
She was just 6 months old. And yeah.
But just enjoy it. Have fun. Enjoy. If you have a family, enjoy your family. Don't take life too serious. Have fun, because you never know what's going to happen. And like Mom says, you want to do something, do if you can afford or whatever. Do it, but just enjoy it.
And would you recommend? Would you recommend going into debt to do these things?
No.
Mom immediately is like, no.
That's one thing we've never gone in debt, and you don't want that and everything. But but sometimes you can't help it. I know people have done that.
Yeah.
If you know, like, if you know that you're going to get a bonus at the end of the year. We're not saying like that.
Yeah.
But we're saying don't go debt, because then you want to take another trip. That'll make it. And then you're going to debt again, and you just keep digging yourself a deeper hole.
Here's a question. My relationship isn't going as well as I'd hope it would be going. Should I have a kid to keep him?
No,
I kind of have to disagree with that, too.
Oh, I mean, Dad, it almost sounds like you were kind of on the fence there for a second.
Yeah, I was. I think, well, you know, but no, I mean, that I don't, you know, whoever wrote that, you know, God bless you and all that and everything, and I hope everything works out. But I mean, I don't think that's a way. I really don't.
I have the feeling it could put more strain on the situation.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
And that person would know better. Maybe her significant other wants to have children. Now, you know, there's some different scenarios there. But just a straight off the hip answer would be no.
But you know, Ryan?
Yeah.
That's why we had you.
Yeah, I did. And you see what happened. It's not good. Yeah. Like, it's not, yeah.
After we got married, we had you.
Okay, here's what's a great prank you have pulled on each other that's your favorite? Or have you pulled a great prank on each other?
That's takes some time.
That's a tough. I got to think about that.
I'm sure there has been one, but I'm.
Well, there. I mean, there was that one.
What?
I mean, the one with the toy that you guys used to pass back and forth.
Oh, they. Oh, that's it. They always had disgusting birthday present.
And yeah, it was. Right. It was a sexual gag gift. That,
yes. It was a big dildo.
And they made me open it at a restaurant, and then I would go to the and I hit it, and I'd come back, and it would be standing up in my drink.
But then, Ryan,
wait, it would be standing up in your drink.
Yeah. They did. They put it in there.
But I, so we did all these tricks on mom and everything. So one day I was leaving, you know, catching a plane. I was going on a business trip. So that's going through security and everything. I had my carry-on bag, so they searched it. And there was this big dildo.
So, Ma, you put it in there to get back at him?
The agent just laughed.
I was hoping that they would. I thought it would just go through the scanner and they'd see it on the X-ray thing. I didn't really search it.
That was funny.
And I thought pretty funny.
No, that was really good.
Well, if you did that post 9/11, you'd be arrested probably.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a woman. She just laughed, and I embarrass easily, so I'm sure it was bright red. And I said, "Well, that used to be my wife that did this." That was really good.
Here's one from I think her name's Jenny. How can I make friends and be a better friend?
Listen,
that's really good. Being a good friend is just being there, like mom said, just listening. I think you just being there for somebody. And being a good friend is listening, understanding people. Just be relaxed around people, and that's tough. I mean, I think I can be a good friend. I think mom's a good friend. And just enjoy being around people. You don't really have to have the same interests. And that type of thing. But that's kind of,
yeah, I mean, you don't have to have the same interest. You can always appreciate a person just because of the person they are, you know?
And show interest in what they're interested in, as you expect them to do the
and
same
thing. Be there for them if they need you.
Right, and care about them. But like if you hate sports and they like to watch sports, so be in there and let them talk about it. And if they're, you know, if they start a conversation about it, try and, you know, show interest.
Well, that's what I, when we used to all hang out, I would hang out with the guy friends and watch the ASU games, even though I hated them.
Yeah. But that's being a friend. You do the things they don't like, and then they'll do the things you don't like, hopefully, if you have a great friendship.
And a good friend to being a good friend is sometimes you can disagree and even get mad at each other. It's like a family.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, get mad at each other, feel family and everything.
What's that?
Really important.
Yeah, you have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
One of the reality shows this week, the lady said the friendship is really about the ups and especially the downs and sticking with them through all of it until you see the ups again, you know?
Oh, right. First of all, I got to ask you this. My brain, I was going through the TV guide today on TV. They have I'm sure you know this, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Wait, that's exactly, Dad, that's exactly what the person that I just quoted is from that show, Salt Lake City.
Are you kidding me? That just blew me away. I was just like, what?
Yeah, and they're kind of some of ex-Mormons. There's a preacher lady. It's religion is kind of a backdrop of the entire show. That's the show I was going to make you watch at Christmas, but then we all got COVID.
Yeah, okay. We were going to watch something with
you.
But that's like really my Salt Lake City.
Jeez. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, here's one. Oh, here's a comment. Bill and Becky, y'all raise a sensitive and rare man. Good job.
Who's that?
This is Tangerine LZ3.
Kara or what?
Yeah.
Did they say son or daughter? I didn't catch that.
You raise a sensitive man, it says.
I know.
Well, no, seriously, I think you are a good person. I think you're sensitive. I think you're a very caring person. You're funny.
And
I
mean, you're a good friend.
Yeah, we're proud of you. You're really a good person.
Yeah.
You know? And well, so is we're very proud of you.
What's your favorite thing about each other? And this is from Jessica. I know she's overseas and she spells favorite F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E, which is just crazy.
Oh, yeah. I love that's the English. Yeah. I'll thank you answer.
No, one of the things about mom is seriously, it's just really how intelligent she is, how together she is. She gets things done. I mean,
yeah,
she,
definitely that.
She's the nucleus of the family. I mean,
yeah.
As you know, we talked about this, I think, the last week or whenever we were on, was when you and I really got hit with COVID hard, even though she had it slightly less than us. She really took really good care of us.
Yeah, completely.
You know, the whole, well, I think she took more care of you than she did me. But
I mean, the sponge baths were a little much, I think, but yeah. I learned to enjoy them.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was kind of crowded in the bathtub with both you and I.
Yeah, you kept farting in the bathtub, so.
What Kara did, we used to.
So go ahead, Becky, tell them how.
Yeah,
oh, Dad's a good. He was always more patient with you kids. I was not as patient, and that really supported me in helping to raise you, because like I was with them all week. And he had a heavy business week out of town, you know, too, also. And he'd still come home.
Yeah.
And he would take you to the movies or take you to a museum and let me have some time by myself. So he, family-wise, he was always there for great support.
Mom, you would go out to museums by yourself?
No, he would take you guys.
Oh, I was like, weird. That's kind of weird.
And you guys loved it.
Yeah. What was Ryan's best age and why? Like, was there a period of time that I was the best? I know it's not now.
You know, you've all been good and everything too, and I'm real impressed with what you're doing now. But I think you started really shining, in my opinion, was like right before when your first year here in Phoenix,
in Arizona, yeah,
at the high school in drama. I remember that first one person play you did. I was so impressed about the man in the park.
the man with the plastic sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was so good. And you were really on a run. Your next 4 years in high school were really something. You really came into your own, your confidence. You were really good. You made so many. I mean, you're the only kid I know that was 4 years in high school and went to four proms. That's when you really came into your own. It was very impressive. And, like I said, you were a good person. You had a lot of really good friends.
Yeah.
And I know it was hard on you, like in grade school, when the boys were all really into sports, you know, and that wasn't, you know, your favorite thing. But like Dad said, when you got to junior high, even, and when you were in that talent show.
Yeah, that was really, you were the MC.
Yeah.
Comments to me, and they're going, oh, who is that kid? He's hysterical. And I was just sitting there, that's not my son. And it was like, I didn't even know the person up there. You know, it was really fun.
So how many sons do you have?
Yeah.
It was fun to watch you.
That's what I mean.
That
it was really cool.
You had brought yourself out of.
I got made fun of a lot. In fact, you know, Screech passed away this week, Dustin Diamond. Yeah. And I used to be called Screech all the time and being made fun of because I looked like, because remember when, that's also that freshman year. Remember how big I grew my hair out? I don't know why. Why did I grow out my hair that big?
Because of the new kids on the block. The one kid had that big hair. Short on the sides and high on the top.
When we first moved here, we were at a restaurant and the waiter even said that to you.
Well, because I was trying, because Rachel Beaker in Kansas that lived on our street, I had a huge crush on her and she loved Joey McIntyre, but I didn't look enough like Joey McIntyre from New Kids for her. But like, I see the pictures now, there's one that's even like ridiculous where it looks like a sketch, like a character or something.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of like me and my afro.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's like, I would have made fun of me if I saw me, you know?
Yeah. But you stuck with it.
No, you really grew.
Here's a good. How did you guys plan so well for retirement? Because this actually is, you guys did plan very well for retirement.
Yeah, we were never name brand people.
Yeah, like, very much so.
We had generic kids.
I didn't have to have, you know, Jimmy Choo shoes. But you kids hate, well, Kara mostly, I don't think that you necessarily noticed, but she hated the black and white cereal boxes.
In Kansas, I was trying to explain to somebody like that was the what is it called? Not the name brand, but the generic cereal was black and white boxes. Like they didn't even try.
In the store called Food for Less. I think there's just a few of those left, but it opened up there and I thought, boy, you know, I save a dollar on every box of cereal. I said, and it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember the Boers, Jim and Cindy Boer.
Right. They used to laugh at us.
They lived across the street. Well, Mom and I went away for a weekend, and they watched you and Kara. And Jim Boer was so funny. He says, you know, he laughs. And I think we're going to blind. I think we blinded your kids because of our colorful cereal boxes. And they used
to. And then we
thought that was funny. You had to be that.
Of the top of the line cars, yeah. And we bought a car. And we didn't buy another one until we paid that one off. And just those times.
And you did the 401ks and you planned
yeah,
all that.
Big time.
Air Warrior hand-me-downs.
And, you know, and we always put the max in it because it's all pre-tax. So it didn't come out to that much money they were taking away. But boy, when we retired,
but it's good
it
if you
there.
Can do it because retirement's nice. And, you know, really, I mean, we're not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but. You know, we're okay and everything, and it's really makes life a really nice.
It well, that sounds amazing, you guys. Thanks. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. It sounds real nice.
We're gonna. Yeah, and
we're
like
just giving you some advice.
And we're what you told me, spend it all. So we're.
I did. I don't. I mean, I'm not looking for anything. But
you
but,
said that so many times.
If wait, like, if you were wealthier, I would have considered trying to hurt you guys, but you're not. what's
we're
that?
Very. Have a very good life, and we have great family and friends. Life is good.
Yeah.
We've been blessed.
What's the best advice for dealing with children? And I guess this includes like our niece and nephew now, my niece and nephew now. So what's your best advice for dealing with children?
Mine is patience, and that's from me that I need to be more patient.
And give them a foundation. Give children a good foundation. It's all about foundation about values and family and all that. And then when they get of age, let them go. Just like, what was that Rod Stewart's song, Forever Young? You know, something like, you know, I've given you enough to let you go or whatever. And that's a really good song. Listen to it by Rod Stewart, Forever Young.
Yeah.
It's a great song for parents to listen to that have kids. And I always think about you and Carol when I hear that song. Mom just thinks about Rod Stewart.
Yeah, Mom has the hots for Rod Stewart. Oh, yeah.
But okay, now I'm going to bring up another one. You brought that up. Michael Bolton, that song we danced to at your wedding when it says to let your children go.
Yeah, let them go.
And then.
Yeah. And look what happened to that, Mom.
Yeah. But you have to let them, you know, it's like a fishing line. Let them, you know, reel it out as far as you think they can go safely.
There's
and then you have to reel them back in sometimes, but just keep doing that.
And there's another song also. I think it was Michael Fogelberg or whatever song it was. He wrote a song about his father. He said, "When freedom came, I had time for freedom or whatever." And so just prepare you to go out into the world and everything. Both you guys have done really well.
Oh, Dan Fogelberg, right?
Dan Fogelberg, that's it. And he's got a song called The Leader of the Band.
Oh, that's also the guy that sings that really sad, that one, Same Old Anxiety.
Song, yeah.
It's a great song. It's really, I talked about that on the podcast a couple weeks ago, actually.
Oh, I really love that because when I do my Saturday chores, I listen to all kinds of music, but I listened to that like last week. And that's a great, the leader of the band and then Old Lang Syne, you know, and that's a great song.
Is there a book that either of you have come back to decades later and felt differently about? Like I've read Catcher in the Rye like in different decades and I've thought differently about it. Is there anything like that for you guys?
Kind of thing, you know how much I read. I can't
so much.
I mean, it could be even the Bible, you know.
Oh yeah,
that's a good point. The Bible,
and
yeah.
The Bible. Every time I pick it up.
Well, I just started reading it last year and everything. Never in my whole life, and so that's interesting.
Yeah,
read it like four times, and each time I don't think will ever be a point that I won't pick it up and find something new.
Yeah,
like if there is a heaven and you haven't read the Bible, does God get kind of pissed? Like, oh, it wasn't good enough for you?
There you go. And look how many years and how many, you know, how it's sold forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it won't. It's one of those long lasting ones.
Yeah, it's always on the bestseller list.
Yeah, always on the bestseller.
Yeah. It really
is. Here's what's that?
That's a good one. I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
I don't like to reread books. So much because I'll just repeat it in my mind to myself, like, oh yeah, I know, da 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 da, and then I my mind skips around too much.
Yeah, here's one. Is your son a top or a bottom?
You mean, do you like to be top or the bottom.
Yeah, that's somebody saying I'm gay, which I'm not. I mean, no, I guess because the guy that puts the penis in the butt is a top, and then the guy that the penis goes into is a bottom, Mom.
Okay. Seriously, somebody? Not that anything's wrong with
that. No. It's no.
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah.
You better answer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I probably would be, I'm sensitive. I don't know if that's offensive. I could be a top or a bottom. Let's see here.
I just never heard it phrased
Mom,
that way.
Mom likes a top.
That's okay. Good.
I don't know why this spread up. Boy, on Facebook, I saw a picture of Cammy and her kids.
Yeah.
What picture that was?
Yeah, no, she's, I tease her, because her daughters are like 8 or 9 now. Yeah. And I always tease her how ugly she is, and she loves it.
Oh, no, I mean, but it was a great picture, the three of them. I'm like, wow.
Let's see. Would you ever want me to get married again?
That would be up to you. It's not my choice.
Well, that'd be up to you, obviously, but I'd be okay with it. Depending who it was and everything like that. But I think it'd be good. I think
if you wanted to, absolutely, 100%.
I think you would. I mean, you're really a good person. You're true blue and everything. I'd really be a good husband and a whole bit like that. But that's, again, that's really up to you. But I think it'd be good.
You would be an awesome dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, who knows? You never know. Let's see. The last one here is, let me find a good one. Do you want, here's a quick one. Do you want me to move back to Arizona?
That'd be okay and everything. But again, like being married, that's up to you.
Yeah.
We'd love you to
be around here. I know the kids would love you to be around here.
But I don't think that you would be as happy here as you are there. So,
Mom, look outside your back door. I'm right here.
Again, it's up to you.
I mean, you're 6 months visitor.
I mean, it's been a lot this year.
Time for as long as you want.
But you know, Ryan, I remember when you first moved out to L.A. and I helped you move out there. Remember, I drove the truck out there?
Yeah, totally.
And I remember afterwards you sent me a text. Did we have text back then?
No.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. I did not have a cell phone yet.
Okay. Well, then it was a letter you sent me. And I remember you thanking me to help. And you said, this has always been my dream to live in L.A.
Yeah. I mean, that I will always remember that first, because you left like that same day that you moved us in. Yeah.
We had to go to work on Monday. And it was just.
I remember that feeling of, I remember that feeling of me and Tanya went over to Sandy's house, the lady that was the casting director.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember a feeling of like, oh crap, like what now? Like that, you know, of like, there's no school, there's no, like, this is actually life now, you know?
And when we go home, would there be sheets on the bed? I'm going to have to wash those.
And that was a nice apartment you guys had there.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, it was really right on Sepulveda and Ventura.
Did you move in with that other couple?
Yeah, Jason Kirkendall and Dana Pauly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it, you guys. That's what we got. This was actually perfect. Is there anything else that you want to tell everybody?
Just don't hate.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, I got to say, I mean, I think we're still in this kind of pressurized environment where everybody is still very trigger happy to be, myself included, to be upset at any given moment, you know?
It's getting worse, I think. And it's just like if we don't stop the ridicule of other people, you can't ridicule other people, no matter who they are, what their walk in life is. You've just got to love all people.
Hopefully we'll get over it. But I mean, just don't hate. That's the first part. It's just like we talked about friendship. Just, you know, understand other people. Everybody's different. Doesn't mean you have to hate them. Just because you have a different opinion. I mean, hate is the worst thing in the world, and I refuse to hate. I just won't.
And you can't judge other people. You just don't know where they are.
Yeah. No, I think That's a good way to leave it. I don't think anybody hates you guys. So, we got one. Dad, how high are you right now?
I was hoping Well, I've been drinking Jameson, so buzz on, but not the kind of buzz I like.
Oh, wait. Here's the last one. Here's why are men? Why can men be such idiots?
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear this answer.
Why don't you take this one, Becky?
Yeah.
Oh, your answer.
I don't know. We're men. Because we think with our penises.
It is funny how, idiotically we can think at times. Like, we just don't have the, I think sometimes the emotional depth that women have.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, again, mom is really good and everything. And
your logic is skewed.
My logic is I don't know. But that's a good question, and I don't know why.
Well, it's something to think about for next time.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I love. Cool. What's that?
I said cool, but again, goodbye, everybody. We love you. Thank you.
Love you, Ryan.
Love you guys. I'll talk to you next week.